Hi, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of F This Movie, the podcast that's under 500 calories. Joining me tonight for the first time, a very, very special guest here to talk about The Expendables, Mr. Mark Ahn. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. Hello, everybody. Now,
just to give the listeners some background, tell me if I have this wrong. Mark's favorite movie of all time is He's Just Not That Into You. Is that correct?
No, my favorite one is the one we just talked about, Black Swan.
Oh, Black Swan.
X-Men United.
That is your favorite movie of all time. Hasn't right. come out yet, is what
no,
you're saying.
It's just in my mind.
Yeah.
I think Black Swan is going to be the best X-Men ever.
Because Brett Ratner directed
it. I actually really want that to happen.
Chris Tucker would all of a sudden show up Professor X, I think. And it would be very good. So tonight we're going to talk about Sylvester Stallone's 2010 action opus, The Expendables. But before we do that, like on every show, I have to ask this question because I'm contractually obligated to. Have you seen anything good lately, Mark?
I saw The Other Guys.
Okay. What did you think of The Other Guys?
I liked it. I think I could have done a better job of preparing myself to enjoy it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you could do a better job of directing The Other Guys. I thought you were using this as your platform.
I know. Here we go.
Your pitch to Hollywood. Let me remake The Other Guys.
I'm going to call it The Other Guys.
No, I think it
the
works.
The Other Girls.
It has built-in brand recognition.
That's true.
Call it the same thing.
That's true. It's like sort of like it's like a bizarre world that we live in. It's sort of like over the weekend I was thinking about I should make a movie called like The Least Interesting Man in the World.
Who would go see a movie called
right.
The Least Interesting Man in the World?
Right, yeah, it's just a dude just sitting there.
It could star Matthew McConaughey.
He actually is. You're right. He's not very interesting.
He is not at all interesting. Unless you're into shirtlessness.
Yes.
And I am. Look, I'm not a snob.
It's okay. I just saw The Surfer that he was in. He wasn't either the
Surfer, Dude?
Surfer Dude. I just saw that.
I don't even understand
day.
That title. Surfer, Dude.
It's okay.
You saw Surfer Dude?
I did.
What happened?
It was just, I was bored.
Did you break a leg?
No, I didn't. I didn't lose a bet.
Move away from the TV?
I have all my hair. You shouldn't worry about it.
How is Surfer Dude?
It's pretty terrible, but
well, yeah.
I do like the McConaughey doesn't like he doesn't he's not a detraction because he's just it's not acting.
Right.
He's just being
himself. The movie's called Surfer, Dude.
He's just being himself. And there's like lots of pictures of beautiful beaches, which I like.
Do you think that they should start adding comma dude after more movies? Black Swan, Dude.
Star Trek, Dude.
Yeah, right? Why not?
Yeah.
Sophie's Choice, dude.
I think when we're trying to reach out into the 18 to 35 demographic, then
just add dude to the
right.
end of it. Absolutely.
I think that will definitely work.
Eat, pray, love, dude.
Sex in the City, dude.
Nice.
Oh, that's like a different movie now.
It really is. What else have you seen besides The Other Guys?
I saw Salt in theaters. I saw Inception, of course.
Yeah.
Like everybody else. I saw Old Boy. On Netflix, which I just recently got.
Nice. Was that your first viewing of Old Boy?
It was the first viewing.
And what did you think of Old Boy?
I thought it was...
Without spoiling Old Boy.
It was pretty disturbing. Yeah. But it's not like gruesomely disturbing, but it's sort of weird. I think part of it is that I think just... I'm Asian, by the way, which you can't tell on the podcast.
Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers
for this movie.
I'm Asian. Ethnic spoiler.
Take that into consideration when he says anything.
At all, right. When I feel like with a lot of Asian cinema, not that I watch a ton of it, but there's always this like very long incubation period where it's like, and then you need to sit around for 10 to 20 years waiting on something, and then the action ensues. It's like, really? Do I have to go into a coma?
It's the slow burn.
It's the slowest of burns. But
they like to wait for their payoffs.
They do. It makes it much more worth it. But I liked Old Boy.
Godzilla was under the water for centuries.
Yeah, and then he
just
finally
pissed.
Finally got. I can't take it anymore.
And then he attacked Ferris Bueller.
It's passive and it's aggressive. but I really enjoyed Old Boy. It was beautifully shot.
Yeah,
kind of like uncompromising and disturbing all at the same time.
That's a great, great movie.
I saw Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, which is by the same director who I don't remember his name.
Park Chan-wook.
Yeah, I should have known that. As a good Asian, I should have known what his name was. Especially as a good Korean, I should have known that. And I enjoyed that one a lot. I had no expectations. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know what it was about at all. It was just late at night. I wanted to watch a movie. Fantastic.
Yeah, there's a fun piece of escapism.
Yeah.
Late night, casual viewing. If you had to compare it to Old Boy, which would you tell? Like, if people listening could only watch one Korean film about slow burn revenge.
Slow burn revenge.
Which one would you say they should watch?
This is going to go against... I would prefer Sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, not because Old Boy is bad, but because I think there's some stuff in Sympathy for Lady Vengeance where the main character, who is a female...
Lady. Her last name is Vengeance, so you kind of know how her life's going to go.
Yeah.
I think. Like, yeah. I think it was a mistake to cross her in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I think I just like what... There's a lot of different directions. I think you see stuff like Angelina Jolie actually tried to do this as a female, like, not action star, but like this woman of action who's going to sort of whatever. And then there's always these stereotypes, that these sort of patterns, these familiar patterns that those sorts of characters fall into. Like, if I'm a revenge character, I'm gonna do this. And I feel like it does that in a way that's extremely interesting, especially for a female character, because she's so... I don't want to spoil everything, but she's very, like, emotionally, like, not as accessible as I thought she was going to be. But it's in a good way, because it's like, all right, she's good. It's vengeance.
Well, and the climax of that movie, I think, has several interesting things to say about just even the idea of revenge and
redemption.
But no one eats anything alive in Sympathy for Lady
Vengeance. That's true. The old boy
has that all over...
That was the most terrifying part of the movie I'd ever seen.
It's up there, but I don't know if it's the most terrifying.
It terrified me because I didn't see it coming. When he says, I need to eat something alive, I was like, a little scared, because I'm like, what's going to happen? Right. Is it going to be a human arm?
No.
I don't know. And then it was...
And then he does it, right on camera.
Fantastic.
Anything else good on Netflix Instant that you've watched recently?
I rewatched Dune, the old... David Lynch Dune, which is awesome, still holds up.
I think you might be in the minority in thinking that.
I like it.
No, that's good. I
kind of like it.
More power to you. I kind of like it too, but I think a lot of people do not.
I understand that, but I mean, I watched like the remakes, the sequels, like the Children of Dune, like the TV.
Those
stuff.
Were made. Yeah, they were like for a Sci-Fi Channel, right?
Yeah. It just doesn't have the same. Like, desire to be weird and strange and exotic. Right. And I think it kind of, the film kind of grabs onto that really well.
How much of that do you think, I mean, obviously it's David Lynch, so we know a lot of it is deliberate, but do you think any of the weirdness of the final product of Dune is a result of editing? Like that, that they had to chop it up to make this 2-hour running time or whatever. And in the process, it becomes almost incoherent, not even because of choices David Lynch made. I don't know.
Maybe. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I think what captures my attention, I guess, was just visually, I felt like I'd read the book and then watching the movie.
Wait, back up. It's based on a book? Dune is a book?
Dune is a book by Frank Herbert.
Get out of here.
Back in the 70s. And I think...
Frank Herbert, the guy who wrote The Notebook?
No, I don't think it's that guy. Frank Herbert, the guy that wrote...
I'm thinking of Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah.
Nicholas Sparks is totally Dune. Dune.
Right. Comma, dude.
Anyway. Dune, dude.
What? That's the movie Matthew McConaughey was in. With surfers, and it was great. Nobody was wearing a shirt.
Everybody goes surfing on sandworms. Everybody's high on spice.
All of a sudden, I realize I've completely miswatched the movie. I got it wrong. It's based on the novel, and I think just, you know, you have your images in your head when you read of what you think it'll look like, and then... For some reason, I think it just resonated with what I thought it looked like. The Fremen characters, like what I thought Paul Muad'Dib would look like, what the worms would look like, all that stuff.
what you thought Sting would look like.
What I thought, yes. What I thought a fat man as suspenders would look like.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I had the opposite experience when I was a child and read the novelization of Willow before I saw the movie. I totally was picturing things differently. Apparently I couldn't wait to see Willow, so I had to read the novelization before it came to the second run theater by my house.
Oh, no.
But I liked Willow when I was young.
I did too.
I don't think I do anymore.
No, because I actually rewatched it.
Yeah.
Just out of, like, for the sake of nostalgia. And yeah. Like, oh, I remember when this guy, you right. know, whatever. I borrowed it from the library. I watched it, and I'm like, dude, seriously? Really? This is what I liked? How dumb was I when I was a kid? Because it's like stealing all sorts of, like, Lord of the Rings, Tolkien stuff, all over the place. I'm like, really? This is such a ripoff.
But maybe it's, you know, maybe it's fantasy for kids, because I don't know how many kids can really be into Lord of the Rings. Although maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah, well... I think what ends up happening sometimes is there's just like a certain wavelength that mm-hmm. that can hit. Like, these are the ranges of like this. If you're going to do some kind of like medieval swords and dragons and mm-hmm. magical creatures kind of thing, like this is the range that you got. And like, you really, it's hard to expand that. Like, when I was watching, I rewatched the old Tron.
Yeah.
The Disney old version. And then I was like, and of course, when I first watched Tron, the Matrix didn't exist. And so I'm looking back, I'm like, seriously? You guys just ripped off everything from Tron, you jerks! But, I mean, you know, I think it's just kind of like, maybe it's just the same story that you retell in different ways, and I don't know, but...
There's a lot of things I like about Tron, but I don't know how much I like Tron, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I like a lot of it in theory, but the movie itself can be tedious at times, but I have to say, I get excited every time I see the trailer for Tron Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that movie looks sweet.
Right, I know. Every time I see the trailer, I think $20 dies in my pocket.
Yeah, right.
Just flies out.
It's now, like, that was now shot going? For 3D. We were talking before the podcast about post-converting versus shooting for 3D, and which movies are post-converted, what's shot for 3D. Tron Legacy shot for 3D.
We're going to see it.
Yeah.
Light cycles up in your grill.
You gotta wait till December. That's rough.
It's good.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
That's right.
I love
Tron Legacy.
There's always a good December release. I love it.
The only thing I've seen recently, I think... Oh, I saw an Australian movie called The Square.
Okay.
It's really great. Australian film noir. And then the other day, my wife Erica and I went to see Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh!
Her choice.
Okay.
Dude. And Eat, Pray, Love, dude. And I didn't like it, which is amazing. And I didn't like it because, like, well, it's for women, because I don't buy into that necessarily. There's plenty of movies that are, quote unquote, for women that I dig. So that's not my issue with it. Here's my issue with it. And this actually segues into our discussion of The Expendables, because I'm a hypocrite. Because I didn't like Eat, Pray, Love because I felt like it was shamelessly calculated to push certain buttons for a very specific audience to respond to, right?
Jerks.
And I get mad at that because I'm like, this is so shameless.
And
how do people like this and not see through this?
Mm-hmm.
Flip side of that, of course, is The Expendables, which does the exact same thing,
mm-hmm.
but... for me, and so I respond to it, and I don't care that I'm being manipulated. So I'm a huge hypocrite.
Yes, you are. You just want to be manipulated in specific ways.
I want to be manipulated by Dolph Lundgren and Gary Daniels. So let's talk about The Expendables. You saw The Expendables.
I did.
What did you think of The Expendables?
I think that The Expendables was... I was trying to think of the way to properly contextualize this.
Right.
As in, why would someone make this? What was the... Like, clearly there was a thought process behind, let's get these specific guys onto this film. Let's get Jason Statham. Let's get Arnold in there. Let's get Bruce Willis. Let's get Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
When was the last time Dolph Lundgren got work?
He's worked pretty consistently, but it's all gone straight to video.
Okay.
His last theatrical movie, I'm going to say, was either Universal Soldier.
Oh.
But that might have been 89, so what might have come after that, I Come in Peace. from 1990.
Dude.
I Come in Peace, Dude. Okay. Which is, of course, only called I Come in Peace, right, so that Dolph Lundgren can say, and you go in pieces.
Wow, that's a lot of build up.
It really was. That is a classic. Have you ever seen I Come in Peace?
No.
Oh my gosh. Crazy, like, albino alien runs around sticking, like, a needle into people's heads and chests to suck out their, like, endorphins, basically. It's like a drug on the planet he's from. And he has, like, a killer CD that he throws, and it slices people. And Dolph Lundgren is a cop chasing him down.
I have no idea. I have no idea why I've not heard of this film.
Yeah, you've never even heard of it?
That's incredible.
His partner is Brian Benben, the little dude from Dream On. Remember Dream On?
Yes.
That's his partner in the movie.
Oh, my God.
You got to see a copy. I've been missing out. Not available on DVD. That's, so you're going to have to track it down somewhere. They show it on cable every once in a while.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I got to go check out some garage sales.
Absolutely. Anyway, sorry.
So it's fine. So clearly they got all these dudes together for a specific reason. It was just sort of this, like, all-star cavalcade of dudes. You know, like, Jet Li is in there.
Right. And it goes deep, because, like we just said, Gary Daniels is in there.
Gary Daniels is in there.
If you know who Gary Daniels is, you're the audience for this movie.
Right. So they clearly was – it was this sort of, like, I wanted to think that the thinking was that – I just said think about the thinking. I'm an idiot. Is this sort of homage kind of idea about what the action movie of the 80s was kind of about.
Right.
Which was about sort of like unlimited bullets.
Right.
And it was about, like, this sort of faceless enemy who is bad and usually doesn't speak English. And
unkillable heroes.
Right. Like, you're just sweaty and, like, your biceps are bursting. And I think there was this one shot where, like, I know I was watching, it was the shot, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stallone are in the same shot, and I was like, there's a steroid joke here somewhere. I gotta find it, but I don't have time now. And then so I think as an homage to, like, here's my loving tribute to 80s movies.
Yeah.
I think it works on that level.
Okay.
I think if you take it anything beyond that,
right,
then I think you're I don't know, you should have seen it, Eat, Pray, and Love. What you should have done.
Yeah, that was sort of my reaction sitting through it. It was like, I was sitting there enjoying it and thinking, like, this works for me, even though I know this is a bad movie.
Right, it's terrible.
And on almost every conceivable level, this is a bad movie. Like, the script is actually really bad and doesn't exactly give you what you want. Based on the trailers... We may end up spoiling The Expendables, by the way. We'll try not to. But based on the trailers, you think it's going to be, you know, this year has been very big on the Men on a Mission movie. There was The Losers.
Yes.
Which we saw together, and I did not really like.
It was whatever.
The A-Team.
Which I saw.
Yeah. And I liked that better than The Losers.
I did, yes. Yeah.
And then The Expendables. And you think they're all kind of the same, and this group of mercenaries, and they have to go do a mission. But a lot of The Expendables is actually just devoted to, like, Stallone and Jason Statham doing, like, a recon mission.
Right.
And Jason Statham's having trouble with his girlfriend, Cordelia Chase, and beats people up on a basketball court. And so it's not exactly the movie that you think it's going to be, this Men on a Mission group of mercenaries movie, except for maybe the first 15 minutes and then the whole last half hour, which I'm sure we will get into. But on a screenplay level, it's kind of bad because there's a lot of terrible one-liners that aren't anywhere close to being funny.
No.
And I don't think it's particularly well directed because, unfortunately, Sylvester Stallone directed this. And while I'm glad that he did, because I don't think this movie gets made any other way.
No, it doesn't.
The way that he chooses to shoot action is in these very tight close-ups.
Yes.
And it's edited
what I was noticing as well.
Very quickly, and it's almost hard to follow. And you have all these awesome people fighting each other, and you can't tell what's going on.
No. That's because their faces are taking up 75% of the screen.
Right.
That's what's going on.
Right. So now we have, you know, a scene where Sylvester Stallone is fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin, where in real life he got his neck broken filming that fight scene.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell what's going on.
No.
So it's a bad movie on many levels. But I sat there thinking, I kind of don't care because I'm the audience for the movie. And just the cast that's been assembled alone engenders enough goodwill. Okay, the scene with Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Bruce Willis brings Stallone to a church to hire him for a job. There's another guy who possibly might take the job, and that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's a bad scene filled with lame dialogue
and cliche
and not particularly, again, well acted. But I couldn't stop smiling because I was so happy to see those three people in a scene together, but particularly to see Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie again. I was so, right. That's disregarding the fact that his last movies were like Collateral Damage and
End of Days
and the Sixth Day.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
Terminator 3.
A lot of days.
Several of those movies I actually kind of like, I'm not going to lie, but that's because I just love Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I was so excited to see him in a movie that I didn't care that the scene sucked. I was just like, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's like flipping through an old photo album.
Right.
When I was watching it, I think I went to go see it with some friends, and I went to see it with my friend Roy, and I kind of walked out just all like, ooh, just trying to like get over like the hangover of how awful. It's like just eating like a whole... It's like eating an entire like bucket of ice cream all at once. It's like, oh, this was kind of okay, and there were some moments where this was fine, but now I'm going to be sick.
Right.
I'm regretting all the choices that I've done. But my friend Roy was our age, so child of the 80s, like whatever, all that stuff, grew up on that stuff. And he came out like beaming. He loved it. Like,
no kidding.
Loved it. I mean, he still realized what it was. It wasn't like, Shakespeare's The Expendables. but he loved it because he was like, dude, this is exactly just what I needed today. It was just like testosterone and it's like stuff blowing up and it's like, guys like kind of speaking in grunts. And he was like, it was great. I loved it. I'm like, that's good. I needed to hear that.
And if the whole movie were as sad as, because as much of an issue as I have with the way that that whole last half hour, which is essentially one extended, incredibly violent action sequence.
Yes.
As problematic as that is from a directing standpoint, like it's also the most satisfying stuff in the movie because that's what you're there to see.
Right.
All of these guys together shooting at stuff and beating each other up. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not great art, but like that's what we're there for. And if the whole movie could have been as satisfying as that, I probably would have loved it too. Not this like qualified, like I liked it, and it's upsetting because it does feel like a missed opportunity because, again, if you're not the audience for this movie, you couldn't care less about it. But if you are, you're super excited at the very concept that, like, all of these people are in the same movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that they're doing this throwback to 80s action movies. Stallone has been very sort of, I think, smart in a way. You know, his career kind of went off the rails and he wasn't around for a large part of like the mid to late 90s and the early 2000s. And then he realized like, oh, I'll start trading in on some nostalgia. So he makes Rocky Balboa, which is better than it had any right to be,
right.
I thought. And then he makes a fourth Rambo movie. And now he doesn't necessarily have any characters that he can go back to, though I wouldn't have minded a Cobra 2.
What? That's what I was thinking, exactly. Wait a second, he does have one.
Yeah, bring back Marion Cobra, Cobretti. This is maybe the third podcast in a row that Cobra has been mentioned, by the way.
I think that's the power of Stallone, though, because I was reading some, not necessarily movie reviews, but just people talking about The Expendables when it was coming out. And so when you talk about it, you, of course, naturally end up talking about Stallone and what Stallone means. And I think for an entire generation of people, like a Stallone movie, like just the way that you were talking about Arnold before, like when a Stallone movie came out, it was an event.
Yeah, right.
Like dudes would call each other up and be like, hey, Rambo 17 is like Rocky 3 is coming out this week. Let's go. And like you just get a bunch of guys. And so I think a lot of why Rocky Balboa, the latest one, and the latest Rambo was so like it's that event thing.
Right.
And it's like, hey, let's go watch this Stallone movie. Like, and
it's
I don't know this thing
that we used to do, and now we can do it again.
Right. And I don't know, and I don't think there's another really like another no one gets around nowadays and says, oh, hey, let's go see that new Brad Pitt movie. Or I don't think people really do that.
Not really groups of guys.
Not
anyway.
Dudes. Well, not out in the open, maybe.
It happens occasionally for, like, you know, groups of women would go see, like, Sex and the City.
Right.
Or possibly even Eat, Pray, Love, because it was based on a book that a lot of people liked. But, yeah, for groups of guys, those movies are rare. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what... Like, I think they do that with franchises, except the whole franchise thing kind of like went in the toilet a little bit. Like, I think people are excited about Batman, like with Christopher Nolan's Batman stuff. Yeah. They're loving it. That's an event movie.
Right.
Probably all the Lord of the Rings stuff was an event movie, but yeah, it doesn't.
Right. Certainly not necessarily before it comes out. Like, I think Inception has kind of become an event movie, but that was a wait and see kind of event.
Right. Because no one knew.
Right. That was, okay, now we have to go see this to be part of the conversation.
Yes.
But The Expendables, it was like your mind was made up that you were going to go see this.
Because you knew Stallone was in it.
Right.
You didn't care. You didn't have to, like, check out what the story was.
Right. And if the reviews were horrible, it didn't matter. Like, that's not what you go. Exactly. And no one was going to be convinced to go see this movie if it got, like, 3 stars. Oh, it's pretty good? I'll go check it. Like, no, you knew right away if you were going to see this movie or not. Which is why it opened, like, strong at number one.
Yeah.
But it's done. Everyone who wanted to see it saw it last weekend.
And they don't need to see it again.
Right.
It's just, it's sort of like, you know, these older bands now that are going on, you know, like when you go see the Stones or when you go see like U2 even, it's weird to say that U2 is like one of an older band, but it's true. They are. They're in their 50s. Then it's that you just want them to play that song that you like. You just, even though you've seen it like 25 times, you still want to see it again.
Right.
And so it's that whole like, oh, there's Stallone doing that thing and talking with that ridiculous accent.
And apparently he's already talked about a sequel even before this came out. He had said, well, I've got an idea for a sequel already. My hope is if he does go forward with a sequel, and he may, because again, this thing made some money, that he learns the lessons of this movie and is able to say, like, okay, here's what worked and here's what didn't, and make a better movie. While sequels usually have diminishing returns, I think this is an instance where you can learn the lessons, and whereas this one is a missed opportunity, I think with a sequel you know exactly what to cash in on.
I want the sequel to be, like, if we're just going to cash in on old 80s dudes, I want there to be like a, because I kind of felt like the sadness of it was that all of these guys, who, you know, a lot of them I like, they were all on the same team.
Right.
And I kind of wanted it to be like these dudes against these other dudes.
Right.
You know, which would have been
They try
phenomenal.
And do that a little with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
And of course, Gary Daniels and Stone Cold and Eric Roberts are all on the opposite team.
But you know, I want
spoilers for The Expendables. They don't make it out of the movie.
Because, no, but I want to see me some Rutger Hauer.
Nice.
Let's make it that happen.
Well,
get him out there.
There were a few people that apparently offers were made to for this movie.
Oh, no.
Van Damme was supposed to play the Dolph Lundgren part.
JBD.
Right. Which is a great idea, but I mean, I'm glad that Dolph Lundgren was in the movie, so I don't know what part he would have played instead. But he was apparently offered that part. Steven Seagal was offered a part, turned it down because he doesn't get along with the producer. The part that Terry Crews played was originally going to be Forrest Whitaker, because when you think action movie,
you think Ghost Dog.
You think Ghost Dog, exactly, Forrest Whitaker. He dropped out, and then it was going to be 50 Cent.
Oh, that would have changed everything.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that casting, because it's like, here's all these awesome action stars, and also a rapper. At least make it like Ice-T, because at least that dude was in Trespass.
I think he should have, and he was in New Jack City.
New Jack City.
Give me some,
I want to shoot you so bad, my dick's hard. I love it. I love New Jack City.
That was the first, like, presentation of inner city workings I saw as a child. I'm like, ooh, really?
I apologize. Before Forrest Whitaker, it was Nino Brown himself, Wesley Snipes. The part went out to Wesley Snipes, and he couldn't do it, I assume, because he's busy not paying taxes.
I was about to say.
But, of course, it would have reunited the stars of Demolition Man.
What?
Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone.
When Taco Bell is the food of the future.
That's right. Enhance your calm, John Spartan. Wesley Snipes, then Forrest Whitaker, then 50 Cent, then Terry Crews, who I actually really liked in the movie. And he got that awesome gun at the end and was blowing people up, which is some of the coolest stuff in the movie.
And then I went home and I watched all of his Old Spice commercials.
Nice.
That's what we did. Speaking of the Old Spice guy, they should have gotten that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's going anyway, like, to be on some terrible sitcom in a year.
It's okay.
So who would they bring back for a sequel? Rutger Hauer, Van Damme, Seagal, Jeff Speakman. I really feel like they were missing some Jeff Speakman in this movie.
I forgot the actor's name, but I think he's gotten into trouble. I want the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Jeffrey Jones? Why?
Yeah, because he's a bad guy from the 80s, but I know he's had some
He's a
trouble.
Bad guy in real life. Hello.
That's why it's so satisfying when he would get blown apart by M60s.
Maybe.
Hello. Chuck Norris? We need Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris maybe should have been in the movie.
We need some Charles Bronson?
Well, he's deceased. Maybe they could just digitally insert him, you think?
I know. Just like they do with Jeff Bridges. In Tron Legacy.
Right.
It's like digital Charles Bronson.
Yeah, right. You know what they need? They need to find some really good bad guys. They need to get that Asian dude who was the bad guy in every 80s movie. He's in Die Hard. He's the guy that gets the candy bar in Die Hard. He's in Lethal Weapon. He's the guy shocking Mel Gibson.
Oh.
He's Genghis Khan in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Is it the little dude with the mustache?
Yeah, he's like bald.
I don't even know what his name is.
No one knows his name, but they're like, that's that fucking dude who's the bad guy in everything.
That's the guy that, right.
Yeah.
Who knows karate and then is...
Right.
Who is a good enough martial artist to show off to work battle axes and whatever, but then gets his butt kicked by the guy who doesn't know any martial arts.
Are you talking about Bruce Willis?
Yeah. Well, or actually him and like every other.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's John McClane and John McClane.
Details.
John McClane can do anything. But they need that guy to play a bad guy. They need to get Kurtwood Smith, Clarence Boddicker himself. Bring back Clarence Boddicker.
This isn't necessarily a bad guy, but Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell was offered a part in The Expendables.
But he said no.
I think he was offered the Bruce Willis part. And supposedly wasn't interested in doing ensemble films.
Oh.
Which is...
Sorry, Kurt.
Yeah, right.
Excuse us.
The stars of Tango and Cash could have been reunited.
Oh, yes! Tango and Cash! Right. What?
Right. I love Tango and Cash, by the way.
It's a guilty pleasure.
It's... Okay, here's the thing. I don't necessarily believe in guilty pleasures. Because I don't feel bad about
why should I feel bad about watching Sylvester Stallone try to play a totally square guy?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go even further, I even like Sylvester Stallone playing comedy because I like the movie Oscar. I do. I like that movie. But
there's another good bad guy from the 80s.
There has to be a bunch, right? I mean...
Didn't we watch all these movies growing up?
And yeah, but I don't know how many how many bad guys were consistently...
Bad guys.
The bad guy, you know? I mean, like, Henry Silva was a good bad guy in, I think, Code of Silence.
What's
Ronnie Cox was a good bad guy in both RoboCop and Total Recall.
Who's the guy that plays, and I'm sorry that this is the reason why, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman would be good.
Sure. Almost.
He's almost too good.
Yeah, he's got a little too much credibility.
Like, no, you're too good at this.
Like, Eric Roberts was just about right for me. He was,
Eric Roberts.
Yeah. Let me ask you this now.
Ask me a question.
Just as I think people have to decide in their lives, Beatles or Elvis,
right.
I think people have to decide in their lives, Stallone or Schwarzenegger, and which one are you?
Oh, I'm a Schwarzenegger guy, I have to say. I like Arnold better.
I do too.
Not because the movies are better necessarily, but it's, I feel like there's a, I think what made it for me for Arnold was I really like the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
I love Terminator because that was just sort of, I think at the time, I haven't really thought about this a lot, but I think at the time that was something I hadn't thought about or seen before. Like, robot from the future, and there's going to be an apocalyptic, like, what the heck?
Right.
I think Arnold has just worked with, not better people, or maybe there's just been a better situation, like, you know, working with Cameron and on Terminator and that sort of stuff. There's just been, it's just sort of worked out a little bit better for him. I know people really like Rambo and The Rock. I'm not a huge Rocky fan.
No, I'm not either.
I can't get into it.
I know.
Maybe it's because I don't like boxing. Like, I can't really get into boxing. But,
right.
You know, I know people love Rocky, Rocky.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just didn't, like, I remember, like, watching Commando, and, like, there's Predator, is like, such a huge part of, like,
Total Recall, Terminator, Terminator 2, Mr. Freeze, and Batman and Robin. I mean,
you know, like,
Twins, Kindergarten Cop. That's what's so awesome, I think, about Schwarzenegger, kind of, is, like, you always get the sense that he knows how ridiculous it is.
Yes.
Stallone plays it very straight.
Right.
And it's hard to, like, First Blood, I think, is a cool movie, and I think that's a good movie. But it's hard to watch Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Right.
And take it seriously at all. But Stallone is taking it very, very, very seriously.
Yes.
And that is a terrible movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the movies that Stallone has done that are considered sort of, oh, it's the more serious, not so frivolous. Like, stuff like, I didn't see Copland.
Okay.
But I know Copland is like, whoa, you know, Stallone did it. You know, he put on all this weight.
Right.
And, like, did that thing. Like, didn't get as much press. Like, he just didn't.
Right.
Copland didn't get the popularity.
I like Copland, actually.
So,
yeah, Stallone, I think, has tried to stretch himself a little bit more.
Yes.
But you also have to remember, you know, he started sort of legitimate. Well, he didn't start legitimately. He started in, like, Death Race 2000, but then Rocky was his big star-making movie, and that was an Oscar winner. Like, he was totally legitimate. He didn't become an action cartoon until the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, I think he's more comfortable returning to that stuff. And again, he's written and directed his last three movies. And Schwarzenegger, you know, kind of stays in his comfort zone.
Yes.
Except to sometimes do, like, a goofy comedy, like a Kindergarten Cop.
Right.
Which I like. Or a Twins, which I like. I've never seen Junior. I cannot bring myself to see Junior.
No, and you never will.
No?
You probably won't.
Something about seeing him as a pregnant man isn't funny to me, and also doesn't interest me.
And it's kind of gross, if you think about it. I think there's something, like, the movies that, I think the films that Stallone is in, like, it centers around Stallone's character all the time. Like, he's the focus of it.
Right.
And so to enter into it, or to enjoy it, or to get it, or whatever, you need to get his character.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like Schwarzenegger's films, it's not, it's you're more interested in the scenery around him, not him in general. Like, as the Terminator, like, he is, doesn't require a lot of acting.
Right.
He's playing a robot.
Right.
But you're more interested in, like, the sort of the apocalyptic story around him. You don't care about Arnold.
Right.
You know, kind of going, he's just like the faceless, sort of dumb, vanilla paste.
Right.
That you just, it's the, he's the everyman, and you just kind of like, okay, that's what's happening. So I feel like it's just a different focus. In Arnold's films, you just don't pay attention to him. You kind of pay attention to what's going around him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a, maybe that's why I like it. Maybe it doesn't matter that I don't like Arnold or not. It's like, no, I just like the idea of, like, robots coming back and John Connor and all that stuff.
But I do like Arnold Schwarzenegger in almost anything.
Yeah.
I really do. Even, like I said, the bad movies. I don't necessarily love End of Days or Collateral Damage because those movies are kind of humorless. And his best movies always have a sense of humor about them, even when they're not jokey per se. They have a sense of humor about them, and those movies don't.
It's the unintentional comedy.
Right.
No room for unintentional comedy. No. When Satan's coming back, it's not funny
in the form
at all.
Of Gabriel Byrne, who played the devil in, like, four movies straight, I swear to God, in the late 90s.
That's just got to, like, play a toll on you.
Yeah, just, we need someone to play the devil. Well, see if Gabriel Byrne still has his devil suit from Stigmata.
Again? Yeah, why? Come on.
Isn't he in Bless the Child also?
I have a family.
Did he play the devil in that? I don't remember that movie.
This is killing my dating life. Jeez.
He's all Irish, though, so he's all like, oh, the devil, light.
It's all right. I'm a foreigner. It's fine.
All right, let me ask you this.
That's a terrible accent.
Yeah, mine wasn't great either, but...
we'll forget about it.
Yeah, listen.
We're going to erase that part.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Seagal or Van Damme?
I'm a sucker for Van Damme.
Okay.
I'm kind of a sucker because he's so... this is going to sound stupid because I feel like you could say the same thing about Seagal because Jean-Claude is just so cheesy.
Yeah.
He's so corny. He's so, in sort of that Arnold kind of way.
Right.
Like, he's like the awkward foreigner with the funny kind of name.
Right.
And he's like the one white guy amongst an Asian world. And the, you know, the slow sidekick that takes 3 hours to complete, which I enjoy. But, I like him because he's so cheesy.
Yeah.
He's so corny. Whereas, I'm not totally sure if Seagal is aware of his cheesiness.
Okay.
But he is, but I don't know if he knows that he is.
Right.
Because he's always, like, such a serious
guy. Right.
I'm Steven Seagal, and I'm, like, looked like I weigh 400 pounds, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
like,
now
that's ridiculous.
Huge.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Now he's like a sheriff down in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, he's going to be in Machete, too, and every time I see him in the trailer,
that's
I'm like,
awesome.
Well, that's awesome, but he should have been in The Expendables, let's face it.
He should have, right.
Yeah, I feel like I prefer Van Damme also, but I can't think of that many Van Damme movies that I actually like. Not that there's that many Seagal movies I actually like, but there's a few. And I can't think of the... What are the Van Damme movies that are good?
Bloodsport. I'm not saying it's good. That's just what I remember him from. Bloodsport. Hard Target.
Hard Target, you know? And that was... We were talking about John Woo earlier, and that was his first American movie, and it's not good.
Oh, John Woo.
But supposedly that movie was really gutted by, like, the censors or the studio. I don't know.
It seems like it.
I don't know.
Hard Target was...
Van Damme's best movie for me, maybe Time Cop.
What was the hockey one?
Sudden Death.
Sudden Death.
Yeah, he, Die Hard in a hockey
rink. I actually did like Time Cop.
Yeah, Time Cop's pretty good. Yeah. Cyborg.
Oh, that's right.
Double Impact, where he plays twins. Did you ever see that? He plays twins a couple times, by the way.
I didn't watch that one.
Double Impact, which is hilarious and totally good. Because one twin is like a pretty boy, and one twin smokes a cigar, and he's like a macho dude. but then he plays twins again in a movie called Maximum Risk, which, could there be a more nonsensical title? Just throw two words together that sound suspenseful.
It's like Scrabble.
Right. But Natasha Henstridge is in that one.
Maximum Risk. I completely missed that one.
It shows up on Cable Everyone's. It's not good. And it was one of the last movies he made that actually played.
It could be about, like, playing a game of Monopoly.
It could be about almost anything.
Chess.
It's one of the last movies he made that actually came out in theaters. Because then he made Knock Off, which is a movie I could not hate more that Rob Schneider's in, that's about, like, exploding blue jeans. I wish I was joking. And Double Team with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, that's right.
They team up to fight Mickey Rourke.
That's right. And they had, that was fraught with all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with production, just because of the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman are crazy.
Yeah. And Van Damme was strung out maybe at the time.
Yeah, well, Dennis Rodman is always strung out at the time.
But there's a tiger in that movie. I saw that movie, like, in a theater.
Wow.
Because I'm a devotee. And
I applaud you. Did you see JCVD?
I have not seen it.
I heard it was worth watching.
I have heard that as well, and I totally wanted to see it, and I believe it's in my Netflix queue.
Nice.
But they don't have it on the Netflix Instant, so...
Unfortunate.
It's harder to, like, wait for the actual physical disc, because I always feel like that's something... Like, whatever the disc is that comes in the mail, I feel like is something I should be able to watch with my lovely wife, and I don't know how into JCVD she would be. Whereas if it was on Instant, I could just watch it on my own.
That's true. Just sneak it in.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
No one's going to get hurt.
Right.
We're going to watch some Van Damme.
Exactly.
Calm down. It'll be okay. I'll just do this without you. It's fine.
Right.
We'll take care of it.
We haven't talked about The Expendables in a long time, though.
Oh, sorry.
We went on a tangent. Do you have any favorite parts in The Expendables?
I like anything with Terry Crews in it, because I like Terry Crews.
Yeah, right.
And I want him to get more work.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he brings some levity and giant pectorals.
He was good. He should have been Forrest Whitaker, but, I mean, he was
Forrest Whitaker's pectorals, not as big.
Yeah. Do you think Forrest Whitaker remembered that he had an Oscar, and then he was like, I can't do it, guys.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the last king of Scotland. I also have a... There is no room for me and my lazy eye in this movie. Get out of town.
I think Forrest Whitaker should be in The Expendables Part 2, and I think he should play Idi Amin, and Idi Amin should be the villain. And it's The Expendables versus Idi Amin. I would see a movie. I think they should do a whole series, and they should do, like, The Expendables versus, and it's always, like...
Like, topple 80s dictators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They take down Gaddafi.
Yeah.
They take down Cobra Commander. You know? Whatever.
They take down Spectre.
Yes.
Let's make it happen. That's great.
I would see The Expendables versus...
Absolutely.
Almost anyone.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I liked... See, now I'm only thinking... It's like reverse psychology. Now I'm only thinking about the parts that I hate.
Okay.
What else part did I... I like the part with the plane. Oh, spoiler. There's a plane and they, like, blow something up. That part was great.
When they do the something and burn.
Right, they have to, like, escape. Doing the reconnaissance.
Then
Statham and Stallone are trying to escape. And they kind of make a cool escape.
Yeah, they do.
On the plane. I like that.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. With an old propeller plane and some...
Yeah.
A precisely placed flare and some gasoline.
Yeah, it's amazing what
it's
you can do.
It's a big boom boom. I liked it. I like Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
I like Mickey Rourke. Who has still got the same haircut from Iron Man 2, but yeah. That's cool. I want him to keep talking in a Russian accent, which would be good.
He's a huge weirdo, but he seemed to actually be giving a performance, which not everyone in the movie did.
He rolls hard. Yeah. He's like, you know what? This is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it all the way.
And hopefully if they make The Expendables 2, he'll see some action this time. Yeah, he kind of sits out The Expendables, but I hope he'll strap on some cannons. And
I feel like there's so much in the... Like, there's, like, little weird hints of things that would be great. Like, spoiler, Jet Li talks about, like, oh, I need some more money because of, like, I need some more money because I'm shorter, so I should get more money.
But that doesn't go anywhere. Because I have a family. Anywhere.
It doesn't, right.
That doesn't go anywhere.
Right. It's kind of like his version of, like, the whole, like, girlfriend story arc for the other two. Right. It's like, really, it's like, oh... Guys who kill mercenaries also have romantic problems. Like, really? I don't care about your romantic entanglements. Yeah. Like, really? It's not an issue for me.
And there's a scene where Stallone decides he's going to go back to this island alone.
Yes.
Because he feels a sense of duty, of a moral obligation to go back alone. He doesn't expect the mercenaries to go with him because they're not necessarily getting paid. And Jet Li says, I'm coming with you. And you don't know why.
There's no reason.
He just comes with him. And then you find out it's specifically so that he can fight Dolph Lundgren, because 2 seconds later they're attacked by Dolph Lundgren, and someone said, well, we got to have those two fight, because Dolph Lundgren is like a crazy black belt in real life. And again, on paper, it's great, because Jet Li is small, and Dolph Lundgren is a giant.
Yes.
And so you think that would be awesome.
This is what I don't like. I feel like, consistently, maybe because I'm a huge Jet Li fan, because I've watched all of Jet Li's old stuff. And Jet Li actually is a good action actor.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily an emotive actor, but he's really good at the stoical, like, he just makes the action look really good. And also, he's preternaturally fast. He's quickest dude I've ever seen. And I don't like that in American films all the time, this is my Asian bias, but that Jet Li always gets his ass kicked constantly in American movies.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's Jet Li.
No.
You wouldn't make a movie about Michael Jordan playing 101 and getting beat all the time. Come on, man. You're Jet Li, dude.
The first movie I ever saw, and I haven't seen, I don't think, any of Jet Li's Asian movies except maybe Black Mask, which I don't even know if that counts. The first movie I saw him in
was
Lethal Weapon 4.
Oh, my God. And he gets his ass beat
by Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. Like, in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
And they take down Jet Li.
It's just such a disappointment.
Yeah. They really just should have gone all the way and have Renee Russo beat his ass.
Right. Like, with her handbag, because that would have been a little bit more.
So I think I already know the answer to this.
Yes.
But let me ask you, Jet Li or Jackie Chan?
Jet Li.
Okay.
But Jet Li is more of the heir to, I think, the straight up, like, action star. Like, he's like the Bruce Lee kind of heroic.
Right.
I'm the guy I'm going to take everybody else on. But I feel like Jackie Chan has done more things that are interesting. Like,
okay.
He does the whole, like, the Charlie Chaplin kind of,
right,
like,
right, right.
Which is super cool, because, like, no one else does that with martial arts.
Right.
Like, the Drunken Master stuff that he does, where he's trying to, like, make this. I mean, really, who thinks of drunken boxing, right? For those of you that don't know, like, he's a martial artist and drunken master, but then he becomes more powerful when he drinks alcohol, and so that makes him a better martial artist. Right, it's hilarious. Like,
it's a cartoon. Right.
And so in that way, I think Jackie Chan is much more interesting, because he does more unusual, unorthodox kinds of things. Jet Li's more of, like, your straight-up, like, Stallone, Schwarzenegger kind of action hero.
Like, I feel like I'd rather watch a Jackie Chan fight scene, for all the reasons that you're saying, because they're so planned out, and it's not just about the action choreography, but it's about the location that they're on and all the weird props he's going to bring into it. It's like watching a musical number.
Right.
But the movies that surround Jackie Chan movies, particularly the American ones, are awful.
Yes.
Rumble in the Bronx is not a movie I like, and Mr. Nice Guy is not a movie I like, but they both have awesome fight scenes.
Yeah. That's what he does. And he jumps up buildings.
Right.
Just insane things.
Yeah, that Mr. Nice Guy, there's a whole fight in, like, a weird construction site. It's incredible.
Right. Ladders.
Right.
Random sticks.
And again, Jet Li, I think I've really only seen his American output. So you're talking about Romeo Must Die.
Oh, right.
Right. And
not allowed to kiss the girl. You're an Asian guy. Can't do that.
Kiss of the Dragon.
Kiss of the Dragon.
Another weirdly generic
title.
Because I don't even know what that means. Or is that move at the end that he does that makes your eyes bleed? Right. I don't know.
Yeah, who's the dragon?
I don't know. But Bridget Fonda is in that movie, so I'll see it.
Good job. The One.
I did not like The One.
It was terrible.
No. And
he was like, now I need to start speaking English.
And that bad is choice, a movie that disproves my theory that any movie is good with Carla Gugino in it. For a long time.
She is in a ton of movies.
Yes, and she's terrific.
She is very good.
But that movie is not good, and so that sort of disproves my theory. Because, listen, even Son-in-Law is Pauly Shore's best movie, and it's because of Carla Gugino. Let's not lie to ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but she could not rescue The One.
No, it was really bad.
But you know what Jet Li movie I kind of do like is Unleashed.
Yes.
Which I think is called, like, Danny the Dog overseas. Yes. But
Unleashed, extremely interesting.
Yeah, I dig that movie.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
British. Plays an animal. Right. Literally plays an animal.
Morgan Freeman is blind. Bob Hoskin has a cartoon rabbit friend. And it's crazy. There's a lot going on.
His cartoon rabbit friend is a hot wife. It's unbelievable. It's so much sexual attention. It's odd. It's a cartoon.
Do you have a favorite Jason Statham action movie? Because I'm fascinated by how quickly he became a legitimate action star.
Right.
Cause he did not start out that way.
Right, because he was just like a boxer kind of guy.
Right, and he was in like Guy Ritchie movies playing like a two-bit hood.
Lockstock,
right.
Which I would like Lockstock and Snatch. Yeah. I enjoyed. I like the first Transporter just because the idea of it was kind of cool. And it was sort of, you remember the BMW films? Like a wave. And then Clive Owen actually played a character called The Driver.
Right.
And so the Transporter was based off the character of this guy who just drives around.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. He's just basically a mailman with a BMW.
Right.
And so I like the Transporter.
I like the Transporter.
But he was in Crank.
And Crank 2, High Voltage.
And then he was in Death Race.
Yes. And there have been a few more.
He was in The Italian Job.
Yeah.
Smaller role.
And he was good in that. I liked him in that. I like both Crank movies. Handsome, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I haven't seen the Crank ones.
Oh, they are ridiculous.
Okay.
But gloriously so. And I liked, I actually even sort of like Transporter 2, even though I recognize it's a horrible movie.
Right.
I'm not crazy about the third one, but I like the first Transporter, A, because there's some awesome action stuff, particularly the scene where he just like rolls around in motor oil.
Yes.
And beats ass.
Yeah.
But then also when I saw that movie, there's a song over the end credits that's like this generic 80s movie action, like this 80s rock song. And it occurred to me like, oh, this is like a crazy French approximation of an 80s action movie. Like, it's made by aliens who like only have pieces of our cinema and have regurgitated it back as the Transporter.
I know. We'll do it like this.
Right.
No, I think Statham is always, Statham has that thing where he's very, you know, like very masculine,
because
he doesn't talk a lot, and he's sort of like muscular, and he's sort of very like, he's bald, you know, so it's a sort of very comfortable, like these sort of stereotypes, but it's not, I like it because it's not just about martial arts, but it's also, there's sort of like a mystery.
Yeah.
It's like, why are these people trying to blow up my handsome self and my handsome car so much. You know, there's that element to it. And so I like the driving element too. I like car movies.
Okay.
So I like that part of it. It really feels like it's Statham, but just kind of like sat down and said, you know what I really liked? I like Kung Fu and I like driving.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to make a movie about that.
Put them both together.
Let's go.
I feel like he's diminished his brand a little bit by appearing in too much crap. And I think his participation in The Expendables is almost like a surrender, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because he's the only one who sort of still has it going on. And by appearing in this movie, and again, I'm glad he's in it, and I think he's fine in it, and his stuff with Stallone is fine, it's all good, but like everyone else, their best years are behind them, and by Statham appearing in the movie, it's almost, I'm one of you guys, I'm a part of this club
exactly. Now.
Exactly.
Reluctantly. Right. Wait, I'm with the band? No! I always thought I wasn't. I was gonna go solo. I think what would help him is the Transporter and the Crank movies are all just kind of like the same movie.
Right,
it's like chapters from the same book.
Right.
I think if he mixed it up a little in between with some more like Snatch and Lockstock were a little bit different.
Right.
maybe just because they were more British.
Right.
I don't know. But if you, like, mix that in, like, if you made, like, a layer cake kind of movie
right.
in between,
do some legitimate
like,
stuff,
right.
and then do the Crank movie.
Maybe he'll do that next.
Did you see War?
No,
with
I
him
didn't.
And Jet Li?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I didn't see it.
And Jet Li's the villain in that? Or do I have that
they
wrong?
They think he is...
Spoilers for War.
Spoilers for War. He's. I didn't see it, so I only know this sort of... Like, he's...
It's portrayed, called War,
they
by
think
the way.
He's... Right.
What are they thinking?
We need to set an established rule of, like, no one-word
yeah.
titles.
Especially one that's so generic. Like,
right.
call it Jason Statham and Jet Li. I'll go see that movie.
right.
Don't call it War.
Jason Statham, now starring in Love.
Yeah, right?
Or, like, Peace.
That I might go see also.
Okay. But I think Jet Li, like, plays the bad guy, but it's like maybe he's not really the bad guy because he's trying to, like, get the real bad guys by acting like a bad... It's a little Green Hornet kind of deal.
Got it.
Get the bad guy by acting like a bad guy kind of deal.
So it turns out he's, like, Internal Affairs.
Or something. Who knows?
Like, every movie where someone isn't... Where the star isn't necessarily a good guy, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, because they're IA.
Right, it's the plague of the twist ending that we have to live with now. That everything's a twist movie.
What were your feelings about Randy Couture in The Expendables?
Actually, he did a good job talking.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
there it is, the rave review of 2010.
Right, right.
Good job talking,
right,
Randy Couture.
Right, you don't sweat much for a fat girl. you're good job being the tallest midget. Because Randy Couture is a MMA fighter, correct?
Right.
He's like so I mean, you don't think, like Stone Cold,
right.
who is a wrestler, professional wrestler.
Right.
Like, there's, since the whole play acting of that, like, you expect him to have some microphone skills and, like, talking skills
yeah,
or
right,
whatever,
right.
which wasn't really used very much. But but Randy Couture's actually, like, had some lines and wasn't totally painful.
No, but I felt like he should have had fewer lines.
Yes.
Like, he had more lines, I would say, than Terry Crews.
Yes, he did.
And Terry Crews can sell, is
actually an actor.
Yeah, and can sell stuff
totally
that
true.
Randy Couture could not. But again, they set him up as, like, this weird guy who reads and...
They set him up as who Dolph Lundgren is in real life. Renaissance man.
Right. But don't really go anywhere with it. I mean, I know they're trying to sort of paint in very broad strokes so you get a sense of who each of these guys on the team is.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish... And again... If you listen in an hour and The Expendables hasn't already been spoiled for you, it might be now. Not totally, but, like, Dolph Lundgren is set up early on as a drug addict, which didn't interest me, and also as, like, a loose cannon. And it's because of the drug addiction, but I liked it when he was just a loose cannon. And he quickly goes to the other team and fights for the bad guys and blah, blah, blah.
Right, he starts wearing he gets very emo, he starts wearing his locks, his you know, his bangs over his head, and you can't see him. It's like, oh, he must be a bad guy
now. It's because he's on drugs. Because
you're wearing your hair like that.
But I wish they would have left him on the team and just had him be, like, the loose cannon on the team.
Right.
Because, like, the team didn't really have a loose cannon.
Yeah, like, a guy who's just constantly sharpening his knife for no reason.
Right, right.
Fantastic.
And blowing dudes in half, because that happens very early in the movie. And it's done through some bad CG, which there's a lot of in the movie. And I get the impression that the movie was not necessarily shot to be rated R.
Oh.
It seems like it was a decision made after the fact, because almost all of the actual violence and bloodshed in the movie is done via CG. And the only example I can think of that it's not, even though, I don't know, you know, I think it's a practical effect. Again, major spoilers for The Expendables, but it's the best moment in The Expendables. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I...
The fight at the end, it's Jet Li and I think Statham versus Gary Daniels.
Oh.
The way that Gary Daniels is dispatched.
Yeah, that's right. It's the kick to the throat.
Oh my gosh. He has his head knocked back the wrong way on his body, and it's incredible.
It's awesome.
There needed to be more of that in the movie because I wanted to cheer, and I was by myself.
Oh.
So that would have been...
Sorry that you were by yourself.
Sad. It would have been sad is what it would have been. Who's that guy cheering for the death of Gary Daniels in the back?
That's horrible. That man's... I can see his larynx now. Why are you
right.
cheering that?
But that's incredible. But that was the only moment of, like, violence that they seem to plan out, because everything else is done CG.
And now that I think about it, there's a... My other favorite part was Terry Crews with the giant gun that we mentioned earlier.
Right.
It's got special magical powers, and that it makes people blow up.
It blows
it's
people
awesome.
Up, yeah.
Like, if you ever played Doom growing up, that's
not.
How... Well,
okay.
it's just that sort of video game, like, people just turning into red mist constantly.
Which, and you saw the most recent Rambo, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you want to see some people turn into
red mist.
That is the most violent movie I've ever seen. Like, non-horror movie violent, like, action movie.
I like that we have to make that disclaimer.
Well, because obviously movies get way more graphic, but, like, in terms of action movies, you absolutely need to see Rambo, because it is, and not the new extended cut that Stallone just put out. Skip that, because I think he cut back on the violence in that. You got to see, like, whatever, the original one that came out on
pound
DVD.
For pound.
It is, you almost can't believe what you're watching by the time you get to the end of it. You're like, wow, this movie was made.
But yeah, that was cartoony, like the way that they, not that it has to be realistic all the time, but it was just a little too, like, it's like, poof.
Right.
It's like they were sand sculptures, and then, like, I just knocked them over with a gentle breeze from my gun.
So I wish Dolph Lundgren would have stayed on the team.
I wish Dolph Lundgren, it was just sort of all these weird. I also kind of feel like in the movie they were trying to establish, like, each, you run into this with the team concept, but, like, each guy has, like, his special power kind of guy. Like, that's the knife guy, and he's the martial arts guy, and he's the leader guy. And I think they were trying to establish that, but at the same time, like, you didn't really know what was going on.
Well, Randy Couture apparently is the reading guy. Terry Crews is the
black guy.
The black guy. But I guess also sort of like the unhinged one, because he's got the crazy gun.
Right.
But then Dolph Lundgren is the even more unhinged one.
Hard to do. Jason Statham is the
ball. He's the knife guy.
He's the knife guy.
We started with him. He was the knife guy.
That's right. And then Stallone is the gun guy. He can shoot really fast.
Well, and like Jet Li is this great martial artist, and he's like the martial arts guy. But like during the whole last half hour sequence, he's mostly shooting.
Yeah.
Maybe have him fight some people hand to hand.
Right. Make it like a some sort of weird handicap. Like he's like, ooh, I had a tragic childhood with guns.
Right.
And now I can't use guns.
I don't use guns.
But I will break all of your bones.
Right.
With my hands.
Right.
That'd be awesome. I'm watching that because I want to see what that guy's going to do.
You know who I want in the next Expendables?
Tell me.
As a hero, not a villain.
Okay, hero instead of villain.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Which is nice. I would like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig that guy.
He'd be
as
phenomenal.
An action.
I do too.
As an action movie guy. Not so much as a tooth fairy.
No.
Or as like
a rescuer of alien children.
Right. Or a hockey playing, football playing reluctant dad.
Yes.
I don't want to see Disney above anything he does.
Right.
Unless it's like Disney presents Walking Tall 2.
Disney presents Dwayne Johnson as The Rock, as the Tooth Fairy. Oh, that'd be great. But I think what I heard was that he had this contract with Disney, which is why he did all these Disney movies.
Okay.
And I think that is now, as of the other guys, that is now done. The other guys was the first movie he did outside of Disney.
Because he's got an action movie coming out.
Woohoo!
Called, like, Drive Faster? Or just Faster. I think it's just called Faster.
Okay, yeah.
And that comes out sometime in the fall. Whatever, I'll see it.
Yeah, I like Dwayne Johnson.
I do too.
I've liked him ever since he was The Rock in pro wrestling.
Yeah, see, I wasn't into wrestling when I mean, I knew of him, but I wasn't really into wrestling. And then I even saw The Scorpion King, and I was like, he's pretty good.
He's really good. And he's got some charisma.
Yeah.
He's got some physical presence.
I like Walking Tall.
Have you seen his Saturday Night Live episode?
When he sings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's got some humor to him.
Yeah, he's a talented
guy.
He's
great. This is what I'm hoping for. The next
Arnold. He should be in the next Expendables.
I'm totally with you.
All right.
And if he's in there with Chuck Norris, then that would be even better.
They probably should bring back Chuck Norris. And I'm making a pitch for Jeff Speakman.
Chuck Norris, the straightest of straight men.
And Rucker Hauer should definitely play the villain.
I like Rucker Hauer.
Let's start writing Expendables 2. Expendables harder.
I think we should
Expendabler.
Expendablist.
Expendables 2. Expendabler.
I think we could do a whole, like, we can make a decalogue. Why even start? Why make it a trilogy?
Nice.
Let's just make 10.
Absolutely.
There's 10 years in the 80s. And
He might need to shoot them back to back because he'll be in his 70s by the time he's done.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
All right.
We'll make it happen.
Well, I guess that's our show. If you want to email us, we're fthismoviepodcast.
Oh, I forgot to do that at the beginning.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you think of the show, or request a movie to be effed, or continue casting Expendables 2 Expendabler, because we're going to submit all these to
Sylvester Stallone. Oh, yeah. I would want to hear people's suggestions, because I'm sure there's people we
haven't. Like, I can't believe you left off...
So Michael Gambon, that's a weird...
Or, like, some guy that was...
Was it the first guy I thought of?
Some guy that was in Best of the Best 5 or something, you know? Right.
Over the Top.
Oh, you know...
Another Stallone movie. Yes. Sorry.
I know who needs to be a villain.
Who?
Martin Cove, I think is his name. He's in Rambo, and he's in... he's, like, John Kreese in Karate Kid. That dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy needs to show up in Expendables 2, Expendabler.
Oh, this just got a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm excited.
This movie's going to be awesome.
It's like we're going to watch it and we're going to say, it's like we wrote this movie. Oh.
I'm excited.
Good times.
All right. So tell us who you want in Expendables 2, Expendabler. And Mark, thanks for doing the show.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for inviting.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.